Great, guys. Then it gives me a great privilege tonight. You will have now heard both Andre and Sonika, and we've been announcing this for so long. The Encounter 3 weekend was this weekend, and what a blessed weekend it was. I know we put up our hands earlier, but I just quickly want to ask, if you were at Encounter 3 this weekend, a participant, a facilitator, someone who packed out those awesome pieces of Omar Biscate, whatever it was, if you can just quickly stand, I want to show you the momentum that's in this church after this weekend. Can we quickly stand? Anyone at E3? Look at that. Amazing. Let's give them a nice hand, shall we? Now, guys, this was for us a fantastic weekend, but we also know that wherever God is, there's always more of God. And so we're trusting Him this evening for more of God as well. And a while back when, I think it was actually last year, Andre, when Werner contacted you for this weekend and we were trying to switch dates around, etc., because we really want Andre and his wife, Sonika, to be here. So we moved the dates up and down and up and down, and we said, listen, it doesn't really matter when you come, just please come. Okay, and they fitted into their schedule, and we're massively blessed for that. But I also want to encourage you tonight. This is something that we're trusting God for, and it has come up in intercession a few times, that there's a depth in the Spirit and the working of the Spirit that we've not really tapped into yet. And so what it's going to take tonight, and I'm preparing you up front here so that you can't afterwards say, Hanu, you didn't prep me for this, and now I'm not coming back. Okay. Tonight, if tonight is something that challenges you on the inside, that is a good thing. And if it's something that challenges the way you perceive church or the knowledge that you have about anything supernatural or so, then I encourage you, please speak to your small group leader or any of the church leaders, or even Andre or Sonika or Alan and Rosie that have joined them as well, after the service. Because this is something that we're trusting God for. And yes, we might be a bit like a toddler learning to walk in the beginning stages, but we're going to trust God, and He's going to take us from strength to strength. So it's great for me to introduce Andre. Andre, please come and join me in front. Let's give him a good hand. Andre is a pastor from East London, and I'm very proud to say I've heard last night through Alan that you're also a qualified industrial engineer.
Yeah.
Great, man. That's why you speak so well. Lizo is one, I'm one. You see, amazing. So, I just want to say, guys, there is redemption. God can use engineers as well, so we trust Him for that. And Andre, we give you free reign, and may the Holy Spirit lead you.
Amen, amen. Thanks, man. Let's do it. Okay, thank you. Just want to make an official statement. Jo, my son, lekker mense in hierdie kerk hoor. My maggies, some awesome people. We feel so at home, and we feel so loved, and part of the family. I must say, it's just incredible to have spent this time with you, and feels like we've been here a long time, actually. It's been an intense weekend. Okay, hallelujah. So, half of you at least know my wife by now, and we like to do, you know, bring prophetic songs in our church often. You know, we feel that you have worship, and it's good, but then there's something about prophetic worship that just takes something just to another level. So we often try to make space in our church, in our worship for it, and we just love going for it. Okay, so I'm going to be speaking to you tonight about healing, physical healing. Say yay.
Yay.
Come on, say it. It's not weird. It's not weird at all. Okay, so power to heal. I want to quickly give you an idea about our journey. I want to give you a bit of an overview, and then we're just going to go into speaking about healing over this weekend. There were a few people healed and touched by God. It was really cool. And so to give you some background, sorry for those who were at Encounter 3, you're going to have a little bit of a few recaps here. But I was in the ministry for around 10 years. In those 10 years of ministry, we saw around 2 people physically healed. And then we became absolutely desperate for more of God. My wife had 3 years of crazy insomnia. I prayed for her hundreds, literally hundreds of times, sometimes twice a night. I would sometimes wake up in the middle of the night. She would not be next to me. I would find her in the bathroom, sometimes on the floor, just weeping and weeping. She just couldn't sleep. It was an absolute nightmare, three of the toughest years of our lives. And in that time, I realized, although I am a tongue-speaking, so-called spirit-filled believer, I believed in the power of God, but I didn't know the power of God. Can I say to you that most of the church globally, they don't know the power of God? And so we came to a point of absolute desperation. Absolute desperation. I've never been as desperate in my life as during the last part of those 3 years. And so I made an announcement in our church and I said to the guys, we are going to pursue the power of God and I do not care what anybody thinks. For the sake of my wife and so many other people who are living defeated lives because they don't know the power of God. And so the Lord was really faithful. So 2012 was April, May 2012. I made that announcement and then I preached the one same Sunday. I think it was beginning of May. I preached on the power of God. And I didn't have the guts to pray for anybody, but I preached it. And so on the Monday, one of our ladies, she went jogging and she ran across the road and a car hit her. And she rolled over the bonnet of the vehicle, fell down the other side. And so it wasn't like nothing was broken or anything, but the side of her body was really damaged. She went home. She didn't go to work the next day. The Tuesday afternoon, she came to my house for a meeting or something. And she was walking like an old lady, like, you know, like 99 years old. And you couldn't touch the side of her body. So it was an other side hug. Like we church people do it, the other side hug. And that was a Tuesday afternoon. That evening, some of our church people went to pray for her. And the power of God came upon her that she actually fell to the ground. She fell to the floor. They heard a clap noise in her hip. And she got up completely healed. The next morning, not even a bruise. Not a bruise, nothing blue, nothing purple, nothing. That weekend she went on a hike. Man, I was thankful. I am not insane. That was my response. I am not insane. God is powerful. So we had our first genuine, undeniable miracle. I told that story for 6 months. Because it was the only miracle we had. So I told that story over and over again. Guys, we have one miracle. A genuine, genuine miracle. And so God started to move and he healed Sonica of the insomnia and of skin diseases we shared about this weekend. And then the Lord started to speak with me about an outpouring of healing coming. 2013, 100 people healed. 2014, 191 people healed. 2015, 400. 2016, 400. Around 1,200 people healed in just over 3 years. And then I stopped counting. I was counting because I wasn't sure, does Jesus really heal? And I came to the conclusion after the 1,200 people healed, it is now official, Jesus heals. Say amen. Because there's such a battle around your mind, your faith. I mean, it could just be yesterday that I prayed for somebody, or we prayed for somebody, they were like, couldn't see anything, now they can see. And the next day you're like, did it really happen? So I started to write down everything. And follow up with people. I was like, I don't want to make up a miracle. Is it genuine? I don't want to hype it up, psych it up. If it's real, if it's God, it's going to be real. I can taste it a week later, you still healed. Month later, you still healed. And so it was almost a little bit of a scientific study for all the engineers in the house, just sort of tasting making sure this is real. And so the Lord transformed our lives and he transformed our church because we moved out of ankle deep in the spirit to going deeper into the spirit. And so tonight I want to share with you about, I'm going to give you a theological foundation of biblical physical healing. Okay. And then we want to pray for people at the end. So we're going to trust that Jesus is going to heal people. Say amen. Okay. So I don't like people just staring at me, so I'm going to have you interact with me a little bit. But you are welcome to jump up every now and again and shout hallelujah. But I don't think you're going to. But that's okay. Okay, so anyway, so the Lord started to speak to me about faith. And he said to me, If you want to move the mountain in front of you, you need to move first the mountain on the inside of you. If you want to, you see, the sickness in our bodies or the challenges in our lives, whether a lack of finances, whatever it might be, the challenges that we are facing, the mountain is never the problem. Because the mountain is small compared to God. The issue is our faith. If we want to move the mountain in front of us, we need to move the mountain on the inside of us. And that is what changed in us. First 10 years of ministry, as I said, two people healed. And then over the next few years, as I said, 1,200 people. But what changed? We moved some mountains on the inside. We changed our unbelieving thinking. By the grace of God, realized that God wants to work powerfully through every believer, not just some. So I want to just read this verse. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, what I want to build this message around is in the book of Acts, massive revival, wonderful things were happening. And then it says there, and Stephen, full of faith and power, full of faith and power, two components, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He did great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen did great wonders and signs. So is it about the miracle per se? No. It is about a sign. What is a sign? If you get to a road sign and the sign points that way, what's the point? The sign is pointing you in the right direction. And so for many people, you know, even like we've seen this amongst our black folk in our country, many are saying, and I've spoken to missionaries who says this as well, you know, they say like, don't come and talk to me about, you know, your Jesus. Show me your Jesus. Because when I go to the Sangoma can show me power. So where's your power of your so-called God? And that's a legitimate challenge. In the book of Acts and with the disciples, the apostles, it wasn't a problem to show the power. I believe God wants to show His power again because it becomes a sign that points to Jesus. So we're like going to India, you know, there are 300 million so-called gods in India. They like Jesus as well. They add Him to the collection. So they're very religious. Like, yes, pray for me. But what if you can show them? And that's what we did. We showed the people Jesus is the true power. And then they turn and they let go of their other false gods. And so I want to share with you a few stories tonight that I'm trusting will stir your faith and encourage you. So the only obstacle you and I are facing is unbelief. That's what the Lord said to me, end of last year. Andre, the only obstacle you're facing is unbelief. Stop complaining. Stop blaming. Stop finding fault. Stop making excuses. Stop saying, well, where's God? No, the problem is your unbelief. So there's a war on the inside of your head and heart. And if you win this battle, you're going to see the power of God. You're going to see God moving powerfully. So, Revelation 22 verse 1. It says there, should be on the screen. Revelation 22 verse 1 speaks about a river. It says, He showed me a pure river of water of life proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So it's the end of the Bible, is John having a vision. He's seeing a river flowing from the throne of God. And then in Ezekiel, it speaks about Ezekiel saw different rivers flowing. And then in John chapter 7 verse 38, this is Jesus that speaks. And He says there, you must read it, you must read carefully. He says there, and he who is awesome out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Is that what it's saying? No, it's saying, he who believes, say believe. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, we're not just talking about mental ascent. Hey, I believe in Jesus. The demons believe in God too. As the Bible says, this type of belief of believing is something else. There's a different level of faith. Faith that moves mountains. Faith was like a mustard seed. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain will move. There's something so awesome about this. It says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his inner being, Well, Flow River is a living water. So this weekend, we were talking about the heart. We're getting healed up. We're getting forgiving people. We're sorting out the bitterness and the anger and things on the inside so that the fullness of God can flood forth from within us. So I believe there are five rivers. So if you can put up the diagram. I believe the Lord showed me, because I was gunning for healing, 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 healing. And the Lord said at some point to me, stop. There's more I want to show you. And the Lord started to speak to me about the fivefold ministry. And you see, they're basically five, what I say, five rivers or five anointings. Together, they are the Holy Spirit. But you get five different flavors of the Holy Spirit. You get Coca-Cola. You get Sprite. You get Fanta. And so more. It's all soda, but there are different flavors. In the same way, you have the Holy Spirit. The anointing of God, God, the Holy Spirit. But there are five anointings with five different focuses. They could possibly be more. But I believe that if you position yourself in these rivers, say there's the first one, there's the apostolic. I'm speaking about the apostolic tonight. The one leg, signs and wonders. If you position yourself in the apostolic anointing, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Doesn't matter who you are. It's not about your awesomeness. You must just believe, you position yourself in that river, and you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. And we've seen this over and over again. Those who start to step out, those who start to believe that the Spirit of Christ within them, Jesus within them, heals. So the first one is the apostolic. Then you have the prophetic flow. We spoke about that this morning at a count of three. Pastoral flow, teaching flow, evangelistic flow. These are anointings. And I spoke about this in my book, Increasing Heaven's Flow in 40 Days. So if you want more of this, if you want to help renew your mind at the table, connect table there, you're welcome to get one of the books. If you want to equip yourself more in the fivefold ministry. But tonight, I'm giving you big context. You need all five together will cause the bride of Christ to come to the fullness of Christ, will make the church beautiful. I believe the call on my life and my wife's life is to make the bride of Christ beautiful and powerful. My wife will focus on the beautiful. I will focus on the powerful. But this is what the Lord spoke to me when we were in Brazil, church of 6,000 people. As I stepped onto stage to minister, the Lord said to me, make my bride beautiful. People are over dead religion. Dead religion kills people. It's empty. It's boring. No fun. But I tell you, when Jesus is in the house, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's exciting. It's powerful. But you need all five of the fivefold ministry, and we mission on building out the fivefold ministry cultures in our church, but I'm not going to go into that now. But I believe every believer, come on, say it, every believer is called by Jesus to be a life-giving source of spiritual water that flows through. Rivers of living waters flows forth from their inner being. So you might ask the question, why? Why physical healing? Well, there are a lot of reasons. I can give you at least 10. But the one big reason is because God is love. And when someone has physical pain in their bodies, their body becomes like a torture chamber. It is someone's hell if it can't be sorted with medication or with help from the medical community. We believe completely in the medical support, you know. Your body is designed by God. It's the most complex biological machine in the known universe. And the doctors who specialize in all the different areas, they specialize in the eye. They study their whole life just to figure out the eye. Yes, makes complete sense. Millions and millions of years of random chance. I think not. You are designed by a loving God. He designed you. And the doctor helps the body. The body has self-healing mechanisms. And when the body can't heal itself effectively, the doctor comes alongside to give you, to help you, to help your body heal itself. But a doctor isn't a healer. It's not a healer. They just support the body in healing itself. So we believe in that completely. We're not anti that at all. So why Why physical healing? Because God loves people. A body full of diseases like a prison, as I said, a torture chamber. So anyway, so in 2013, we went to India. We've seen the previous year, about four people healed. And so I was now stepping out. I believe God said, okay, now you need to pray for the sick. So we had this little meeting, small little room, probably what, 50 to maybe 50 plus people could fit in. And the rest of the Indians were standing out into the street. For those who don't know, India has a lot of people. A lot of people, 1 point something billion. So lots of people. I preached my heart out. I preached about Jesus. I preached about Him being the healer. I preached about the kingdom of God and said, now we are going to pray for the sick. So we made these cues and I prayed for the first person and nothing. Nothing. Creak, creak. Nothing. Okay, so I went to the next. There was a guy in a wheelchair. Nothing. So I'm like, Lord Jesus, this is going to be the longest night of my life. And then the third person I prayed for was a young boy, 7 or 8 years old. I have a son. We have a son who's now 9. And I saw this little boy, and he hasn't spoken in his life. He was mute. His mom was standing next to him. And I saw in his eyes, he was dead. He was just like, there was nobody home. He was just like standing like that. And I had such compassion. The love of God flooded my heart. And I prayed for him in the name of Jesus. I saw his eyes change. And then he spoke. He spoke. I was like, no ways. He said, hallelujah. And he said, Jesus. I said, say hallelujah. And he said, hallelujah. I said, say Jesus. And he said, Jesus. It was awesome. And from that moment onwards, like healing broke out through that little venue. It's like people would just say, I feel a fire on my back. I feel a fire in my ears. And then they would get healed. Deaf ear would open. Bodies would be healed. Joints would be healed. I mean, the team was just like, yes, we are not insane. Because that's sort of how faith sometimes feels. And suddenly God was moving and God was moving and people were getting healed. And we were like, yes, thank you, Jesus. We could give evidence that Jesus is the true one God. So I went back to my room that evening and I felt the Lord. I asked the Lord, okay, God, this is amazing. So what have you in store for us? What have you planned for us? How many of the gifts of the Spirit do you have for us? And I felt the Lord say, it's all yours. It's all yours. I mean, all the gifts. And so I said to other guys this weekend as well, but I flowed in all of the gifts of the Spirit over these last 5 years. So it was quite cool. In November, a bit of a story of it. In November, beginning November, we're in our service. And I feel the Holy Spirit say to me, go sing. At the end of worship, go sing. But go sing in tongues. Okay, now tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. Tongues is one of the gifts of the Spirit. But it's also a prayer language. 1 Corinthians 14 speaks about singing in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. Okay, or singing with you in the Spirit, singing with the understanding. Now my first reaction was, oh God, no. Don't want to freak people out today. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. God has spoken. I'm going to do it. So now I do it. I come, I take the mic, and I sing in tongues. I think on Friday night, I also sang a bit in tongues. So I was singing in tongues. And then the interpretation was about the love of God. A few other people also, the love of God. God loves people. A few weeks later, I meet a missionary couple. This is such a cool story. A missionary couple from the United States. They are in East London ministering to the people in the community, and the man studied at a Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. For those who know, they in general don't like tongues or the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe in those things anymore, a lot of them. Some of them do, but many of them very conservative. So anyway, so this couple comes to our church on that Sunday morning when the Holy Spirit says to me, sing in tongues. And they are terrified of the things of the Spirit. Terrified. So here they come. And here I sing in tongues. Now listen to this. They originally come from South America. They understand Spanish. They told me I sang in Spanish about the love of God. Rocked their worlds. evidence that God is alive. Isn't that amazing? And so we prayed with them, and the husband started to pray in tongues. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said to us, maybe this is why we came to South Africa, actually to receive. He testified in our church last week, Sunday, of how God has rocked his world since he has become exposed to the fullness of the Spirit. A sign. Isn't that awesome? Come on, let's say it, a sign. So second term last year, we had Bible school, and I was talking about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I prayed for, say, six people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And one of our members, one of our ladies at church, she's a Messianic Jew, meaning she's a Jewish lady who now believes that Jesus is her Messiah, and she became a Christian. She's a Messianic Jew. She understands Hebrew. She reads the Hebrew Bible. So now she told me, while I was praying for these people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was praying in tongues. She says, I spoke Hebrew. I quoted scripture from the Bible in Hebrew. Hallelujah. I just want to say Jesus is alive. Blesses me. So imagine just when we are praying in tongues, it's not just, you know, making up funny sounds. It's there's something happening in the Spirit. It is your Spirit being empowered by God's Holy Spirit to speak and to pray the perfect prayer. It's a sign. Go read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. It speaks about tongues. That's a sign for the unbeliever. Even a Christian that's an unbeliever. So where are you at tonight? Are you a believer? I mean, really a believer. Do you believe that God is alive and powerful? Do you believe that God wants to not just touch you, but he wants to work through you? Or are you an unbelieving believer that says, well, God is powerful, but he's not going to do anything in me or through me? Where are you at? I want to stir your faith to believe. Come on, let's say it. I believe. I'm helping you. I'm helping you a little bit. Okay, John 11, 3 to 4. This is where Jesus raises, just before he raises Lazarus from the dead. He says, therefore, the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. This is Lazarus. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through this. You see, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, there were the glory of God flooded in. Every miracle, every sign, every wonder is a manifestation of the glory of God. And it brings glory to God. So I want to ask you, do you want to bring glory to God? Who wants to bring glory to God? Then begin to pray for the sick. Begin to pray, because every miracle brings glory to God. It's not about you. It's not about me. I'm not after miracles, but I want to bring glory to Jesus, and I want to point people to Christ. I've seen signs and wonders transform Christians' lives, our church. I mean, Ellen and Rosie can testify. The personal change. Your relationship with Jesus is absolutely transformed, because you're not trying to be a good person anymore. You're like, God, I want to surrender more to you, because I want more of you to flow through me. God, I want to know more of you so that more people can encounter you. It is amazing. So sickness and disease is simply an opportunity to bring glory to God. This is for the glory of God. So you need to get excited when you find someone that's sick, someone that's something that's wrong. You're like, yes, thank you, Jesus. I get so excited, especially when we travel. I'm like, there's sick people. Yeah, yes. And they have pain in their bodies now. I love that when they have it now, because you can pray now and test now, and they can give glory to God as Jesus heals them. It's wonderful. Transforms your life. John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, say believes. Though he may die, he shall live. And Jesus said, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You see, the healing, the resurrection of Lazarus was to see the glory of God, a manifestation of the glory. So we have a guy in East London, his name is Festus Sawoni. So he came to preach at our church, and he shared the story. He was in Cape Town ministering in 2005, 2006, something like that. And after ministering, a guy comes to him and says to him, no, there's a lady, a good friend of his, that died. And he felt he has a word that Festus needs to come and pray for this lady. This is in Cape Town, not just some weird off place somewhere in Africa. You know, I often joke about East London is a weird way off place in Africa. But anyway, so he goes after, he says, okay, fine, let's do this. Let's go to the morgue. And you can't just get into a morgue. That's why it's so hard to raise people from the dead these days. It's just really hard. You can't get to them. So anyway, so they somehow persuade the police. And so two police officers go with them. So this is two of them. The two police officers, they go to the morgue. Got lady's dead for at least a day. So now they go, they're outside the morgue and they tell the police officers, you guys stay outside. If we run out with a body, you can shoot us or something, okay? So they go in and they go and pray over this lady. They find her, they're laying on the thing. And Festus says, as now they are praying, they're praying, they're praying. He says the next moment is like he enters a vision where he sees himself, his spirit being amplified, magnified. He becomes like a giant that stands over Cape Town. I know it sounds weird, but it's like something in the spirit. Suddenly God just amplifies his spirit man. And then he commands her to be healed or to come to life. And now the funny thing is, at some point the officers come in and they come and stand next to the body. And he's praying in Jesus' name, and suddenly she begins to breathe and she sits up. They had the scare of their lives. They ran out screaming. I know it sounds crazy, but he says this lady is now ministering in Australia. She wrote a book and she's traveling the world. Iris Ministries in Mozambique, more than 100 people raised from the dead. David Hogan's ministry in Mexico, more than 500 people raised from the dead. The definition of being dead, at least 24 hours dead before they raise from the dead. That's the definition. I just want to say there is a move of God across the earth. And we can be part of that if we would move the unbelief out and start believing God's word for what he says, who he is. So look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I want to share with you basically three areas about healing. Healing, I believe, is at the heart of the gospel. It's not just an extra. It's at the heart of the gospel. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die as a spirit being. He didn't just die for you to go to heaven. He obviously did that as well. And it's a critical part. The biggest miracle this world will ever see is when one soul turns to Jesus. That's the biggest miracle. So don't make no mistake. I'm not magnifying physical healing above salvation. That is the biggest, most important miracle. And I want to pray for people tonight. If you do not know Jesus, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to, everything I'm sharing tonight is just to point you that Jesus is alive and he will wash your sins away and he will make you a new person on the inside. Okay, but I believe that the healing is the heart of the gospel because Jesus hung on the cross as a full human being, soul, spirit, body. He died for your sins to be washed away. He died so that you could be physically healed and he died so you can be set free from darkness on your soul. The whole man. The gospel, the good news is the whole man. And we have tended to make it a little bit in the corner, salvation. It's not just eternal salvation. It is the whole deal. So let's look at this. This is the question. What did Jesus do? You know the thing at WWJD. What would Jesus do? Do you know what would he do if he was here? He'd heal the sick and he'd cast out demons. Because that's what he did. He'd preach the gospel of the kingdom and he would set people free in the soul, spirit, and body. So look at this. Mark chapter 1 verses 14 to 15. Just going to run through a few scriptures. Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom. He came to proclaim, guys, I come from a superior kingdom called heaven. And I'm coming to tell you that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent. Change your way of thinking. You're thinking with an earthly mindset. I am wanting to call you to think from heaven to earth, from the heavenly kingdom to the earth, because that heavenly kingdom is different to this kingdom. It's the opposite. It's the upside down kingdom. If you want to go up in the kingdom of God, you need to humble yourself. If you want to succeed in the kingdom of God, you need to be the least. It's the opposite of our way of living. So he says there, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay, quickly, stretch forth your hand. I like some interaction. How far is the kingdom of God? How far? It is at hand. I know I'm having fun with the scripture now. But it's such a powerful picture. It is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of God, because the king has come to live on the inside of you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the king has come to live on the inside of you. So when you stretch forth your hand in faith, it's like the king is stretching forth his hand for the kingdom to come, for people to be healed. So the kingdom of God is at hand to those who believe, but it's out of reach to those who do not. It is at hand to those who believe. So we're going to pray tonight for people. We're going to lay hands on people. We're going to trust that the kingdom of God is going to come. Even here in Secunda. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. So what does repent mean? Repent means change your way of thinking. I've seen this so many times. I was in Shofar Swakop Munt. I did a healing seminar, and then I said, now we're going to pray for sick people. And you could feel like the air left the room. It's like, oh my goodness. And then people get healed and people realize, wow, this is so easy. Hallelujah. And then they start to pray for people like, yes, Jesus heals. Come on, let's say it. This is easy. Because it's Jesus who does it. It's not you and me. It's Jesus who does it. So look at this. Matthew 8:16. It says there, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed some, a few. He healed all. Come on, say all. Jesus healed all who were sick. Come on, what did Jesus do? Everybody's saying, be like Jesus. And then we think morally. No, not just morally. Do what Jesus did. Now, this is the big question. What is the will of God when it comes to healing? What is His will? Because that's the question. How do we normally pray? Sick person, you pray for them. Father, if it is your will, please heal them. Amen. And then we walk slowly away, not wanting to ask anything. Like, we know it didn't work. So we walk away and we ask nothing. Isn't that how we do it? There's not one example in the Bible where it's anybody prays God, if it is your will. They never pray, if it is your will. They said, be healed in Jesus' name. So how well is that prayer working for you? How many people healed so far, people? Maybe a few. But I tell you, you need to command, you need to speak, you have authority. Jesus spoke. And people were healed. So the question about the will of God, I believe the scriptures point to us that everybody was healed when Jesus prayed for them. That reveals to us the will of God. Not once did someone come to him and ask him to heal them and they weren't healed. Not once. Yes, sometimes he would just walk through a crowd and heal a specific person because he was led by the Spirit to pray for a specific person. But not once was there someone that wasn't healed by Jesus. Because I believe that reveals to us the will of God. It is always the will of God to heal. Okay, now before you stone me, breathe. Let me explain. So we have a guy in our church who was in our church. His name is Bram. He had for 6 years major back problems. Many operations, chiropractors, you name it. He went through the whole thing. He was in such pain that he couldn't sit in a chair. Normally, he couldn't go to a restaurant with his wife. He couldn't. He had to lay in bed, and he had a special table thing that would work on his laptop. That was the only position that he didn't have significant pain. So I think it was like 6-7 months that he was lying in bed like that. It was a nightmare for them after 6 years of a lot of pain. So I went to him, a few of us went to him, and we prayed with him. And I could pick up, this man has no faith. It's like, you just feel there's no anointing in this place. It's like, he's not. And he said to me, I have no faith for this. Like not just, I don't have faith. He was negative. So he's like, he's negative. And I said, okay, read this book. I'm coming back next week. I'm going to pray for you again. And then next week comes, he says, don't come. I'm not ready. So he reads this book called Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. It's an old book, 100 years old or so. Brilliant book. If you want to learn about healing, fascinating. So anyway, so he reads it. And then he says, the one night, this is now 2 months later after we prayed for him, he was watching YouTube video clips about people getting healed, testimonies of people that were healed. And he says at some point, he was reading the book about the theology of healing, and he was exposing himself to testimonies of people being healed. And then he said at some point, something clicked. He said, I realized it is the will of God to heal me. That's what he said. So he prayed, Father, thank you that it is your will to heal me. Next moment, he was healed. He got up out of bed. He started a car the next day. Healed. That is a sign that it's the will of God to heal. Come on, let's say it. It's the will of God. It's the will of God to heal. The problem is not the will of God. Jesus died on the cross. He took all our infirmities, all our diseases, everything on the cross. He vanquished sickness and disease at the cross. It is done. Come on, let's say it. It is done. Amen. It is done. The power of God can only be claimed where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You need to know that you know. Appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. So now you might ask me this question. Okay, Andre, how does this work? I mean, surely I must die one day. Man, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. Can I give you the answer? Beautiful answer. Exodus 23, verses 25 to 26. So you shall serve. This is now with the Exodus, the guys coming out of Egypt, and God was blessing them and speaking over them his word and his will. And he said, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. And now, people, that's the Old Testament. That's before Jesus dying for our sins and for our diseases. And then he says this beautiful thing, I will fulfill the number of your days. I will fulfill the number of your days. In other words, as long as it's God's will for you to live, in the sense you still got something to fulfill, you still got a destiny to live out, you can stand boldly and confidently saying, God, I thank you that you will fulfill the number of my days. In Jesus' name. Now, unfortunately, none of us really know when our days are finished. But when you're 3, 4, 5 years old, I can't see Jesus wanting to take a little child. But when you fulfilled your destiny, then you can go home with a smile. Amen. Okay, so God will fulfill the number of your days. But our challenge is, you know, if you pray for 100 people and 99 of them are not healed and one is healed, that is not the will of God. Something's wrong. There's not faith in the house. We have had meetings where it seems like everybody's getting healed. Everybody is getting healed. So the challenge is, God, you need to release faith, and then you need to have the Spirit of Christ in the place, full of the Spirit. Okay, so what did Jesus do? He preached the gospel of the kingdom. Guys, good news, as a superior kingdom of heaven is here. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. Otherwise, he set people free in their whole person. Is that cool or what? Come on, say amen. Okay, so that's what Jesus did. Now let's look at, what did he teach and train his disciples to do? Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Huh. So what Jesus did, he trained his disciples to do. Luke 10, verse 9. And he commanded his disciples and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Isn't that amazing? So preach the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrate the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, the superior kingdom. When the kingdom of God comes, everything contrary to his kingdom must go. Look at this, Acts 5, verse 14 to 16, because now you could say, well, you know, Jesus is Jesus, so everybody got healed with Jesus, but didn't work with the disciples. Now look at this, Acts chapter 5, the height of the revival. It was an incredible move of God. Thousands of believers united, praying and proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and it was like a high water mark of revival. Much grace was on them. Look at this, and it says, verse 14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord. So many came to Christ, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. So it's possible that Peter's shadow even just healed people, which is next level, even beyond anything we know that Jesus did. Verse 16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Say all. They were all healed. So come on. Isn't that revealing to us the will of God? You must just create the right environment. A faithful, united, powerfully praying community. That's why you must go and pray. You must go join the prayer meeting on Monday nights. If you create the right environment, the kingdom of God will come. And then the unbelieving believers, then they say, yeah, but at the end of Acts, you know, the power fades away. As if God died. Look at Acts chapter 28, verse 8 to 9. The apostle Paul, this is right at the end. He was on an island. He prayed for a guy. And then verse 9. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. My goodness, it didn't fade away. Can you imagine that? God is still alive and powerful. Love it. Okay, so what did the disciples do? They did what Jesus taught them to do. And then last thing. So what did he command his following generations, disciples to do? Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So Jesus is saying, guys, I have all authority. All authority. And then he says, go therefore, because he's basically saying, I'm delegating my authority to you. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Go impact nations, guys. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Think about this. What did Jesus command his disciples to do? What did he teach and train them to do? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick. And set people free. Question. How much of that are we doing as the Church of Jesus Christ? How much? I'm not saying this to condemn. I'm just wanting you to see this. Because when I saw this, it's like, I can't believe I didn't see this. I can't believe how blind I was. I can't believe that I read all the scriptures about healing and all these things. And I say, that's nice. Moving on. Come on, let's get back to the real thing. So what does the word authority mean? Authority means the right to use power. So when Jesus said, all authority is mine, and he says, go and change nations, he said, now I'm delegating authority to you. In other words, I'm giving you the authority, I'm giving you the right to use my power. Now go. So the last verse I want to read. So again, I want to emphasize, we don't ask God to heal. You can't start off there, Father, I please ask that you would move, I ask that you will touch, I ask that your presence would come, but then you must command, be healed in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. This is where Peter and John find a lame man. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And then a multitude came to Christ. Oh, it's amazing when someone's life is changed like that. They commanded. So we were in Rio de Janeiro, and there was a lady called Josie Costa. Rio is in Brazil. So we're doing a revival conference there. And then this lady comes to me, Josie Costa. She has cancer all over her body. It's level 4 cancer. It has spread into her, I think, her back, bone marrow, something like that. It's lymphoma cancer that she had. And she was busy with chemotherapy. And so I prayed with her, a few of us prayed with her. And at some point we commanded, be healed in Jesus' name. We curse this cancer. Be gone. And then what we always do is we test. Okay, now test. So she went to her glands, which were all swollen, and her eyes went big like, it's no longer swollen. And she says, I feel stronger. And like, I think something happened. So anyway, that was December 2015. January 2016, I go onto Facebook and someone tagged me. I saw Josie Costa tagged me. And I saw 180 comments and people sharing like crazy. The Brazilians love Facebook. They love Facebook. And I read there that she went to the doctors and they gave her a complete clean bill, saying to what you had was very serious, but you are healed. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand for that. You see, every testimony I'm sharing is to stir your faith. Every story I'm sharing is an invitation for you to experience the same. Our God is powerful. So the last verse I want to read there is Acts chapter 6, verse 8 again. It says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Full of faith, I'm building up your faith tonight. And power. And that's where you need to learn to be fuller of the Holy Spirit. You need to create an environment like worship environment where God can fill you up. So I experienced this in Manaus, a city in Brazil, the church of 6,000 people. We did a conference there. There were 400 people physically healed in that week. It wasn't external outreach, it was internal equipping. And at the services, the Sunday especially, we had about 150 people coming to Christ, and God was moving. And I remember the Sunday night as we were praying for people, I felt that, but I was full of faith and power. Incredible grace. So I had like two lines of people, because my translator told me, Andre, you've got two hands. Don't just have one hand. It takes a long time. Pray for two people at the same time. Because you see how it works is that your body becomes a conduit for this river of life. And when this river of life, which is real, it's just spiritual, but it's real. When it flows through you, it causes people to be healed. So when I would lay hands on people, we'd ask, what's wrong? What's wrong? And they would say, hey, I've got a big cyst on my breast. The lady would say, and I'd say, test it. She tested. And the other guy's, this problem, you've got pain. Yes, you've got pain. And then we would pray within 30 seconds to 1 minute. The power of God would flow into them. The Holy Spirit would flow into them and they would be healed, tested again, and it's gone. I prayed that night for 40 people, 40, that I could testably, tangibly see they were physically healed. It was incredible. It's called grace. Much grace. It's not me. I'm not special. I can't heal a headache. I'm just a donkey. Just a donkey. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon me or anybody else, the kingdom comes. So I want to stir your faith for that. Biggest mistake you can make is say, Andre has a wonderful gift on his life. Rubbish. I see it in our church. Anybody, the team that goes with us, anybody prays and the kingdom comes. Especially like when you preach the gospel, like I'm preaching it tonight, I'm giving you the word of God, I'm sharing stories. We're creating an atmosphere here right now where the kingdom can come. Come on, let's say it. The kingdom is coming tonight. Amen. The kingdom of God is coming here tonight. One more story. Oh, I've got so many. Two stories. Can I do two? Es is so lekker om stories te vertel. So we were in Argentina. It's the last night. I was praying, or one night I was spending time with the Lord the afternoon. I saw a vision of an angel. I saw a vision of an angel standing behind me on stage. And then I was sharing how so, say half of them didn't know Jesus. And I preached my heart out, but there was just such grace in the place. So I was saying, okay, right, we're going to pray for the sick. Everybody that's sick, raise your hands. And a whole bunch, like 70 or 80 people came forward. Like a whole lot of people, like, yo. And I'm like, okay, then the Lord started giving me words of knowledge. I felt ears and necks and shoulders and some other things. And then we prayed. I just prayed in the group. We didn't lay hands on anybody. We just prayed. And I said, who feels better? And a whole bunch of hands went up. And I'm like, you guys are not understanding, probably. You know, you don't understand. And then there's this one lady. She's the mom of the pastor, the mom of the senior pastor. I think she was 76 years old. Her father beat her when she was younger than 10. He beat her so badly that she lost hearing completely in the one ear and 90% hearing in the other ear she lost. She's had hearing aid for 30 years. The mother of the pastor, they know her. It's not a planted person. And I heard that had a word, God's going to heal ears. She hasn't heard for 50 years without a hearing aid. The other ear is completely gone. And then I said to people, now test. And at some point, she took out the hearing aid and started to shout, I can hear. Yo, the meeting just went through the roof. And God started to heal all over the venue, on the balcony, all over. God started to heal. People were coming to Christ. People were having Jesus encounters. Their lives were being rocked. It was incredible. Come on, say praise Jesus. It's amazing. Rocks your world. Last story. So we were in Brazil as well. Another place. There was a lady. She had for 10 years eyesight problems. Just saw a blur. She just saw a blur. She came forward because she felt like God was touching her eyes, but I was like, nope, that's not a good testimony. So I felt, hey, I'm just going to pray for you again. So I laid my hand on her and I prayed in the name of Jesus, God, touch her. Power of God came upon her. She went to the ground. I stood over her and I said, in the name of Jesus, see. She opened her eyes and she saw perfectly. That's amazing. Her life is forever changed. She only saw a blur. That is the love of God. That is the goodness of God. That is God's heart for people. He wants to reveal who He is. He wants the whole world to know. He doesn't want the Sangomas to have the power. He wants the Christian church to have the power so that everybody will know there's a God in South Africa. There's a God in Secunda. What if you can create an environment in your church that when people hear, if you're sick, go to that church. That would be quite cool. Because you get healed there. You meet with Jesus there. That's what we are after. We want to create an environment where Jesus can heal. Truly heal. But the power is in community, united community. Amen. So worship team, quickly join us here on stage. And I want to just, we had a few words of knowledge. What words of knowledge is sort of like the Holy Spirit would lead us to specifically focus on certain conditions. But before we do that, before we pray for the sick, I want to ask this question. Every story I shared is evidence that Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's not a fairy tale. He's not some man-made religion trying to just to control people. He is alive. He is alive. So I want to ask you, how's your relationship with Jesus tonight? Have you surrendered your heart to Him? 20 years ago, I surrendered my heart to Christ. Changed me forever. I went to church even younger, but I didn't have a living relationship with Jesus. Do you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ? Because then I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Every miracle is a sign that God loves. The greatest miracle is one soul. One soul that surrenders their heart to Jesus. And I guarantee this to you. It's not a fairy tale. But you have to take a step of faith. You say, hey, I want to know this Jesus. And when you take that step, He changes you on the inside. It's an incredible miracle when He changes you on the inside. Let's just close our eyes just for a moment. If that is you, either you have backslidden, you've lost your way with Jesus, or you don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, then I want you just to quickly raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Come on, just raise your hand. Jesus is alive. Thank you so much for the hands that are going up. After you've raised your hand, you can then drop it again. Anybody else? Anybody else? If you don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, or if you've lost your way, your heart has become hard, your mind has become unbelieving, then I want you just to quickly raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I can feel it. Jesus is here tonight. And He loves you so much. He loves you more than you can imagine. He's proven it. He's died on the cross. He's shed His blood for you. He loves you so much. It's nothing like knowing Jesus, I promise you. Nothing. It's like coming home. It's like, man, I was born for this. To know Him. To be loved by Him. I'm going to ask last time. If you haven't raised your hand, and you know that you need to, you can feel it, like your heart is beating like a little bit faster. You know, you can feel it. Hey, that's me. That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction to you right now. Jesus is calling you to surrender. If you haven't raised your hand yet, then you need to quickly raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, if that's you, raise your hand right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that is here right now. I can feel God is going to pour out His Spirit into our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with me. And I want to ask, if you raised your hand, I saw you. And Jesus saw you. Quickly come forward. We want to pray with you. Just come forward. If you raise your hand, just come and stand here. You might have been a believer for a long time. It doesn't matter. Just come. Come, at least 15 people raise their hands. Come on, let's give them a hand. This is awesome. This is awesome. God loves you. He loves you so much. If you need to be here, come on, just come. We have found, as the Bible says, God gives grace to the humble, and it takes humility to come forward. And there's something that happens. I did this 20 years ago, and Jesus rocked my world. As people laid hands on me, I experienced a touch from heaven that changed me. That changed me. If we can have some of the leaders just to come and stand here with them. We're just going to pray with them, and then we're going to pray for some people that need healing in their bodies or whatever else. We're feeling as well tonight people battling with depression, things like that. We believe Jesus wants to touch you. He wants to touch you. The greatest miracle ever. To one soul to turn to God. I know some of you are here simply because you want to deal with the unbelief that you've been battling with. And that's awesome. We need to admit it. Unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is a sin. It's offensive to God. We need to deal with it. We need to say, God, forgive me. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for us. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your amazing love, God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Savior. And Lord, I can feel it in this house that we are hungry for our faith to become a living reality and no longer just theory. We are longing to know the God who made the heavens and the earth. We are longing to know the God who heals and raises the dead. We are longing to know the God who sets us free on the inside. Father, thank you. Thank you. Touch each one here right now. So let's pray this prayer together from the heart. There's such power in praying a sincere prayer. God hears this, the smallest whisper. He hears and he moves. So just pray. Let's all of us pray this prayer together from the heart and saying, Father God, thank you for your amazing love. You love me more than I can imagine. I want to know you. Forgive me for all my sin. Forgive me for living a life of unbelief. Forgive me for living my own way and not your way. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Forgive me all my sins. Wash me clean. Make me new. I want to be born again. I want to be a true believer with childlike faith. Jesus, come and sit on the throne of my heart. Holy Spirit, fill me. Take away the darkness. Let your light shine. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I just want to pray for you. So, Father, we thank you. You are love. You are love. Right now, Lord, as we lay hands on each precious person here, fill them with your love. Fill them with your spirit. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Fill them. Fill them right now. We welcome the glory of God here right now. Fill them to overflow. Jesus' name. Every darkness be gone. Every fear be gone. Every bitterness be gone. I just feel that some of us standing in the front and also some of us in the rest of this venue, we need to forgive some people. Maybe you need to let go of your anger towards God. Maybe you need to let go of some disappointments. Often unforgiveness, bitterness is a block to God moving and healing and flowing on the inside of us and setting us free. So let's pray this prayer, and then I want you to say some names if you have some people to forgive. Just say, Father God. Father God, I forgive in Jesus' name. I forgive from the heart. Those who have sinned against me, I forgive. Lord, forgive me if I have blamed you for anything. I know you are good. You are not the author of bad things. In Jesus' name. So just under your breath, just pray names. If you need to forgive some names, say it. Say it, because it could be a block to what God wants to do tonight. Just say those names. God, I forgive him. I forgive her. I let go. I cancel every debt. They owe me nothing. Just do it. Just do it. Glory come. Power come. Fill. Right now. Fill. Wash away every darkness. Wash away every bitterness. Wash away every unbelief. Be gone. Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus. Just surrender to the love of God. God is here tonight. I can feel it. I can feel it. He's here. Let Him touch you. One touch from heaven can change everything. Holy God, let Your kingdom come now. Let Your kingdom come now. Let Your kingdom come now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come. 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 Can we sing that, "Come, Lord Jesus, come"? Just that one little bit. Just for a moment before we're going to pray for the rest. I just feel God wants to touch us just as we're in this attitude of worship. Come on, let Him fill you. Let Him touch you. Jesus, come. Come on, let's invite Him in to every part of our beings. Come, Lord. Fill, fill, fill. Fill with Your goodness, God. Come. We speak freedom to every life here right now. Freedom to every heart. We break every chain. We break every chain. Continue singing. Continue singing. Invite Him in to move in your life. Jesus' name. So Lord, we believe. There's more of You, God. Flood in. Flood in. Okay. So we had a few words that we feel. So we felt that there might be somebody here with ear problems or ear infection. Anybody with ear problems or an ear infection? If you can't hear me, then someone tell them. Ear problems or ear infection? Okay, ear problem. Anybody with an ear infection, just raise your hand. Ear infection, just ear problems. Just come and stand over here. Hallelujah. We felt there's somebody here with pain shooting down the arm, but could also possibly originate pain in the neck. So neck, arm, something about neck and arm. Anybody like that? For you? Anybody else? Just come and stand here. Anybody else? Like an arm. You need to, when the water is flowing, you need to come. Okay, so we felt, it's a bit of a weird one. We felt there's somebody here that possibly the right leg was broken, didn't heal right. And possibly the one leg might be a little bit shorter than the other one. I know there's a weirder one. Anybody like that? Quickly raise your hand. Or anybody that had a leg broken and it didn't properly heal. Anybody like that? We're just stepping out. We are stepping out. Anybody? Okay. Awesome. Come and stand there. We feel possibly someone with pancreas problems. Problems in the pancreas. Pancreas. Anybody? Sometimes it could be for a family member. But we're trusting You are here. Pancreas. Okay. We felt eye problems. Eye problems. If we had a few people confirming eye problems. eye issues. Okay, eyes. We felt that somebody with heart problems, maybe an issue with the veins or the heart, but heart problems. Anybody with heart problems? Anybody? Can you raise your hand? I'm a short man. I can't see. Heart. Okay. Hallelujah. If there, we had a word yesterday about lung problems, so if you have lung problems, you can also come and stand here. We felt arthritis. Anybody with arthritis? Joints? Arthritis in the body? Okay. We also felt neck injury, possibly a car accident, but just neck pain in general. Anybody like that? Especially a car accident. Nick. Nick?
Was a car accident?
Okay, was a car accident. Cool. Then we also want to pray for people battling with insomnia. That's just my wife's pet project. Because she battled with it herself for a long time. So if you battle with insomnia, you battle to sleep, just come and stand here in the front. We're going to trust the Lord for that. And then also depression. Come and stand here as well. And then anything else, then just come. We're going to trust Jesus to go. We just go what we feel, to call out specifically. Often the Lord just heals anything. But just come and stand. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody come a little bit forward. 2-3 steps forward. Just to make a little bit of space. Okay. Okay, and then some of the leaders are going to help pray. But we're going to just trust God. I'm going to pray for an impartation of the healing anointing to this church. You see, the Bible speaks about the power of impartation. Let me stand here, then you can see me. So the Bible speaks about impartation, the power of impartation, that the grace in someone's life can be released onto someone else. So obviously, sovereignty is something that God does. We can pray, but the Lord can then impart. It's like a river from me flowing, or a river from us flowing into your lives. Okay, so can you just raise your hand if you want God to use you in the healing a ministry or healing anointing, or you want God to, obviously if you want God to heal you, you need to raise your hand as well, but if you would just raise your hands, if you want God to pour out His Spirit of a healing anointing upon you. Father, right now, as our hands are raised, Lord, we pray for Your anointing to come upon our hands, to come upon our lives, God. Jesus, even as You sent Your apostles and disciples, You said, go and heal the sick, declaring to them that the kingdom of God is at hand. Lord, we hold our hands before You, and we declare the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's say it. The kingdom of God is at hand. I receive a healing anointing, healing grace to pray for the sick and to see them healed in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come, anoint us. River of healing, flow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So just want to pray for you. So Father, right now, God, we speak it. A healing impartation right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, God, for healing grace to flow into Shofar Secunda and every church represented here tonight. God, that healing would flow into our homes, that healing would flow into our lives. God, that we would be healed tonight and also receive grace to see others healed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, let's say it. I believe that Jesus is here tonight as healer, as deliverer. In the name of Jesus, I declare it is finished. Jesus overcame every sickness, every disease, every cancer, every darkness. In Jesus' name. And we receive and we enforce the healing power of Jesus Christ here tonight. Be healed and be set free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So if you're standing here in the front, if you can put your hand on that part of your body, if it's possible, if it's not awkward. But if you can put your hand on that part of your body that you need healing, just try and put your hand there if you can. Hallelujah. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome your healing power here right now. So I want to explain quickly how we pray for people normally. We lay hands on them, put a hand like on the part of their body, or obviously a kosher part of their body. And then we release the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, over them. And often we wait until we sense God is there. And then we pray, we glorify God through praise. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We celebrate the victory of the cross. And then we start to speak to the condition. We say, you know, pain in the body, be gone. Be healed in Jesus' name. And we keep on praying for a little bit, and then we say, right now, test it. And then they tell us, okay, out of a 0 to 10, 10 being maximum pain, where were the pain levels? Like an 8, and it's now a 4 or a 3 or a 5. And then we say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you are doing. And now then we pray again, and then we do the same, and then we pray again. And we keep on testing. And we pray. I normally pray at least 3 times, okay? So I want the leaders that are going to pray with us to join us in doing that. Okay, so we're going to pray, lay hands on them. I'm first just going to command a few things just in general as I was reading it, or as I wrote it down, and then we're going to pray. Okay, who's going to pray with us? Who are the leaders that's going to pray with us? Okay, there's a few. Okay, yeah, but we can pray first for you, and then you can join. Those are going to join in prayer. We'll pray for you first, and then, and if you get healed, well, let me say, when you get healed, then please pray for somebody else and release that healing over them. So Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take up the authority that you've given to us in the name of Jesus. Right now, we command the healing power of Jesus Christ to be released over every person here standing in the front. Lord, even as they have laid their hands on parts of their bodies, we pray that the fire of God would move in there right now. Holy Spirit, fire. Now, be healed. Thank you, Lord, that there are power in our words. When we speak in your name, we release life. So we declare it. Ears, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be opened. Be healed in Jesus' name. We command all pain in the body, the arm, and the neck. Be healed in Jesus' name. Let the healing power of Jesus Christ flow in now. Now be healed. We command legs, the right leg that was broken, any other legs to be healed in the name of Jesus, that it would be the same length and be restored in the mighty name of Jesus. We command eyes to be healed. Lord, let the fire of God just flow in there right now. We command hearts to be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed right now. Let the heart be healed. New hearts, new veins, heart issues be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak to arthritis, pain in the bodies, pain in the joints. Be healed in Jesus' name. All pain disappear now. All pain disappear now. All pain disappear now. Knees be healed. Ankles be healed. Legs be healed. Joints be healed. Bodies be healed. Cancers be gone. Jesus' name. We command every neck injury to be healed right now. All pain disappear. And Father, we rebuke insomnia. We rebuke insomnia. Our Father, thank you for peace. Every fear, every worry around the sleep be gone. Thank you for a shift of atmosphere right now. In the same way, God, we release joy over your people. Every depression be gone. Every depression be gone. In the name of Jesus. 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 Okay, so now I want you to test your body before we're going to lay hands on you. Round number one. Test your body if you can. Test it. Move it. Test it. It's the easiest, like necks, joints, shoulders, knees, legs, anything like that. Test it. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to continue praying. But test it. I just wanted to do round one. Okay? If you feel 50% or more better, that you feel the pain levels are 50% better, can you quickly raise your hand? If you feel pain levels are less. Okay, there's a hand. There's a hand. Anybody else? You feel 50%, 50%. Okay, hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. Something's happening right now. Come on, we're just opening the wells. There's a journey. There's a process. There's a process. Hallelujah. Okay, so you understand the process. Now the guys are going to pray with us. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray that God would touch you. And when you get healed, then you're going to pray for somebody else in Jesus' name. Amen. For the rest of us, you are welcome. If you need prayer, you can come forward. If you want to maybe just, you're welcome to sit as well and just pray just where you are as well. Just stir faith. I don't want us to chat and talk or anything like, I don't want us to break the atmosphere now. There's an anointing here for healing right now. So you're welcome to stay because we're trusting for some testimonies here tonight. So don't go anywhere yet. Okay, amen. So let's pray. Worship team will make some music. Sorry, there's no worship team. There's just the man. But we can also do some anointed CD maybe. That can also work. Either way, if you want to. Hallelujah.
Cool, guys. Just want to share testimony. I always had a pain in my neck here at the back that would go down my right side arm. And then it would get pins and needles. And as Andre was praying for me, and just before he said amen, I could just feel it going down my shoulder and just going away. And it's 100% healed.
Hi, I've just prayed for a lady, Trudy. She had arthritis in her right wrist, and the pain was quite high. She's got absolutely no pain. Everything's gone, no arthritis, no swelling, nothing.
We just want to share a testimony of something specific that God healed just to stir your faith.
Okay. Hi, I have arthritis in my right pinky. And God just come and heal and take all away, the pain, all everything away. It was from an 8 and there's no pain. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I'd just like to share, I had a sharp pain going down my neck and into my arms. And I'm completely healed and all the pain is gone. It's like there's a weight lifted off my shoulders, and I can move freely.
Amen.
So, amen.
Amen.
I just want to share my testimony. I had my wrist was sore for about a week. I felt it becoming better when I was still behind. So yeah, then when some guys prayed for me, and now I don't feel better. It's actually healed, completely healed. What can I say? I mean, Jesus is a good God, and he is the best man in my life. So thank you very much to the church, and yeah, that's it.
I just want to thank the Lord. I had an accident in rugby, standard two with my leg, my left knee, and my leg was standing this way. And those days, they didn't operate or anything. They just put it back and put a plaster around it. And today it's healed, no pain. It's going far back as the other one. Used to be stiff and straight, so thank you, Lord.
Amen, that's awesome. Come on. Jesus loves you.
Ja, ons het hy persistent gebid hiervoor verdank en hy is bietjie skaam om op die mic te praat. Ek sukkel ook. Sy leespreek is 100% reg.